Jesus, I do. Yes, I do. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? I do. Yes, I do. Sing it again. Oh, anybody know about
Yes, I do.
Oh, I do. Oh. Anybody know about the
love of Jesus?
I do.
Yes, I do. When I was searching,
oh, yes.
He saw. Took away my doubts when I was struggling to find my way.
Oh, we heard the sweetest song.
I heard the sweetest song.
Let's sing it tonight.
Sent to me from the throne a song of love and grace.
Oh, anybody know?
Yes, I do.
Oh, yes, we all do. Anybody know about the
grace of Jesus?
Oh, we do.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
He came and broke the chains of sin. His power is my constant source of
help. Oh, anybody know about the power of Jesus?
The power of Jesus.
I'm so glad.
I'm glad I do.
I'm so glad that we do.
Yes,
hallelujah.
I do.
Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in church?
Amen.
Do you appreciate this opportunity God has given you once again to enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving? Now here's the deal. This is the deal. We all, every one of us, we do our little part tonight. And whatever your part is, that's what you've got to do. Don't depend on your neighbor to do your part. Don't depend on the pew behind you to do your pew's part. We all do our part.
Amen.
We all put our shoulder to the wheel.
Amen.
And we're all going to have a good time.
Amen.
We're all going to leave here better off than we was when we got here. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Amen.
Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart. Can you sing that second verse for me again? Let's see if we can sing that second. Now, we're going to be easy on Brother Harry. He's battling a respiratory problem, but that don't mean he can't sing a little bit. So I want you to sing it with all your heart, that second verse, because it ain't nothing but the truth, right? Let's put our shoulder to the wheel. We're going to have some church here tonight. Brother David Seiler's here. He's come through a real bout of sickness while he was gone overseas. He is so glad to be back home. He is so glad to be back at Happy Valley. He's gladder to be back than we are glad to have him. I promise you, he's tickled to death to be here. Are we tickled to death to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Singer, buddy.
He came and broke the chains of sin and death and hell. him.
Oh, yes.
Said that I could use his name to defend myself. His power is my constant
source
of help.
Of
help.
His power.
Jesus.
Somebody say,
yes,
I do.
Yes, I do.
Oh, anybody know about the grace
the
of
grace
Jesus?
Of Jesus.
Lord, I do.
Yes, I do.
Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, we had a wonderful time here Wednesday night, Brother Terry just preached, didn't he? He just done a good job, and he turned into a blessed song leader. Bless his heart. I really enjoyed that, Brother Terry. That was so good. We just appreciate our brother. We've got some tremendous helps in our church right here, and we appreciate each and every one of them. I know you're wanting to say something. What is it? Yes. 2 minutes. All right.
You know, that song, The Power of God. Now, I'm not trying to sell my book, okay? But I have to tell you something. By the power of God. When I got shot down on my fortress, you know, my pilot started to drift towards the target. The German aircraft aiming at the formation of the bombers kill him. I didn't know about that until later. When I'm coming down, I started to drift towards the same way. By the power of God, I started to pull down on the shroud of the parachute, and I started to drift the opposite way. I'm coming down. The Germans are shooting at me. Okay? By the way, at that time, I was a Catholic. And when I'm coming down, the Germans are shooting at me. And as I approached closer and closer, the Germans stopped shooting at me. I was in a death march of 86 days, 600 miles. Thousands died by the power of God. And by predestination, I came out of all that. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 I got a feeling he's pretty glad to be here tonight, too. Anybody know about the power of Jesus? Brother Charlie, you do. Oh, yes, we do. Anybody know about the power of Jesus? Lord, we do. Yes, we do. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord tonight. Such a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Such a privilege. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Anybody know about the love of Jesus? Lord, I do. Yes, I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at a prayer request. It's such a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Understand they're having some tremendous services out in Arizona, the meetings out there. We just praise the Lord for that. He's God. He's God where everybody will let Him be God, isn't He? He'll touch where you let Him touch. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're thankful for that tonight. Sister Christy Smith wants us to pray for her sister-in-law's mother. She's been taken to the ER. She has pneumonia and other complications. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. We want to continue to pray for Sister Sharon Ward in rehab at this time. Just pray that the Lord would be with her and give her a speedy recovery. Please still remember Sister D. Dixon in prayer. She's sick and so wants to be in the house of the Lord. So let's remember that request tonight. Sister Estep, sick in body. Also, Sister Brenda Harmon, sick in body, both unable to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Brother Chuck and Sister Tammy Dixon, they want to offer their praise to the Lord tonight for protecting them in a car wreck. The car flipped over, and they came out with just a few bruises and a little bit sore, and they certainly want to praise the Lord. And we praise the Lord with them, don't we? Amen. Amen. Brother Chuck, able to play the drums tonight, brother. God was with you. And we saw a picture of the wreck. God was with you. And Sister Tammy, we praise the Lord for that, don't we? Amen. Amen. Caitlin Hensley needs prayer tonight for sickness, has a virus. Just pray that the Lord would touch her tonight. Sister Margaret Weeb of Bolivia, sick in a rapid advance of cancer. She's loved by her family, needs to know the saving grace of God in a greater manner in her life, in the way of salvation. Also, her brothers need God in their lives. Brother Cut sends this in, so we want to commit those needs unto the Lord tonight. I want to have prayer for Sister Christine Baker, who has been in pain all day with her neck. So they're asking that we would remember that request tonight. I want to pray for Brother Greg Robbins, has a stomach virus. Also pray for Sister Shirley Robbins with continued back problems. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. As we pray, we just commit these things unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight, how many of you know that we're serving a prayer-answering God? We just love Him so much tonight. He has done so much for Happy Valley. We'll never be able to praise Him and thank Him enough for what He's done. Can we stand to our feet tonight? Brother Joel Brown, is he in the room tonight? Brother Joel, if you'd come up and pray over these needs tonight. And Brother Joel won't get to be here in the morning, so it's just... we just need Him to lead us in the song Going Up Yonder, don't we? And we just love to hear this guy. That we appreciate the Brown family, don't we? We love you, buddy. God bless you. Pray, buddy.
Heavenly Father, who You are and what You've done and what You're moving us into is beyond comprehension. To know You in the power of Your resurrection, to know You in that life, we can truly sing these songs and know what we're singing about. But one day we will step into the fullness of everything that You've ever desired for us to be. So here we'll just muddle through the trappings of humanity and we'll continue on in Your love, in Your grace, in Your favor. Until that time, Father God, we will hear requests like we've heard tonight. As we read the news, we'll hear all of these things that are happening. People are losing their minds. Father, You told us that men's hearts would be failing them for fear. And Lord, they're afraid. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what's happening. They're killing one another, Father. They're fighting. Even here locally, Father, just the other day with there in Elizabeth and Lord with the police officer, and Lord, it is just staggering. But Lord, we come with these requests of prayer, knowing that You will move in the power of who You are, and the circumstances will be brought forth into the fullness of what You want them to be. And Lord, many would look at us and say, oh, that's just a fable, that's just a tale. You're just believing in something that isn't real. But Lord, I stand here among and those out on the ways of the internet, Lord, tonight. Lord, they know, Father God, what it is that they're living for and what they're doing. So, Lord, we lift up these requests of prayer unto you. We call these names, Lord, to you, the one who knows what to do, Father. We don't know. We've come to this point, Lord, in our lives, Father, where we don't know what to do but just depend upon you. Lord, and it staggers, amazes me, Lord, even with the disciples. Lord, when you came back and you showed yourself among them in the flesh, there were even some who doubted. But yet you told that group of men to go out into all the world and to preach this gospel. And Lord, even with doubt, there were some still preaching the gospel. And I just pray that if there's some sitting here tonight with doubt in their heart, oh God, may you just touch them and remove all of that, Father. The man of God, as he stands here and brings that word, this has been a day that you've orchestrated, that you've predestinated for me, for my family, for my brothers and sisters that are here tonight, for the ones that are on the internet listening tonight and those that will listen later in the archive. Father, you've orchestrated this just for me. What a feast, Father God. I want to set myself up at the table, and Lord, I want to be bold. I want to be sure. I want to be certain, Father, as I get my spiritual fork, my spiritual spoon, my spiritual knife, Lord, and I drink from that cup, Father God, that you placed before me. Lord, may I not push it back, but Lord, may I take all that I can. And Father, fill my cup, fill my plate, and may I fill my life. May I fill my soul with your food. And Lord, may the servant as he comes, as Lord, as he's here to serve, oh Father, Father, may we receive it gladly, oh God. We love you, we honor you, we adore you. You're welcome in this place, and we thank you for our place in the building tonight. And as Brother Louis has said, we all have a part to play. Now, may we step into that vision. May we step into that position and that place and fill you in your fullness and receive you in your fullness. And then take that we receive and replicate it and manifest it in our lives, Father God. Let not this gospel, this word that we hear tonight, fall on deaf ears. Fall on fallow ground, Father. Break everything up that needs to be broken, oh God. Forgive us of our sins, our transgressions, our trespasses. Lord, the things that we thought today, the things that we said, the things that we did against our wife, against our husbands, Lord, against our children, against our parents, everything, Father, we place it all before you. And we want to enter into this service as you would want us to be, oh God. Now, may you move on these requests of prayer of these individuals, Lord, whatever the circumstances may be. You receive the glory, you receive the honor, you receive the praise. And it's all done in the name, the lovely name, the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is soon to come. Now come, O God, and come quickly. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's have Brother Joel sing tonight.
He's real.
Amen.
Maybe you're here tonight and you don't want to be here. I think so many times we've come to a place in this thing that we call the message, and we've become comfortable. And we forget about the fact that there are people sitting beside us that don't know the Lord. There are people that come in these doors and they don't fully know Jesus Christ. They haven't had an experience with the Lord. They come, they clap their hands. We forget about that. But this place that we're singing about is real, church.
Amen.
And the only way that we can get there is to loose ourselves from humanity, to loose ourselves from who we think we need to be, and who we've become. And when that magnetic power of the transformation of that thing called the rapture goes forth and it sweeps across the earth, only those that have that impartation of eternity in them is going.
That's right.
If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going, one day,
awesome.
One day soon. If you want to know where I'm going, where I'm going, oh, one day soon, I'm going up yonder I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to live with my Lord. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm gonna live with my Lord. Now I can take the pain, the heartache that life brings. I have comfort in knowing I'm gonna take my wings that He gave me and fly away. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going up beyond. Take the pain. Can you take it? The heartache that it brings. There's comfort in knowing I'm gonna soon fly away. As God gives me grace, I'm gonna run this Christian race. Cause I've been promised that I'll see my Savior with mine own eyes. Oh, I know that I'm going. Do you know that you're going? Better make preparations and sure that you're going. Are you going in the rapture to meet your Maker and your Lord?
Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, I just love the way our brother sings that. I believe he believes what he's singing about, don't you? Ushers, why don't you come tonight? We'll receive the evening offering. Give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here, all those that are streaming. We pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. Have a couple of songs tonight, Sister Tamika and the boys, they have a song for us. Sister Sarah Yance has a song. If they'll all come onto the platform at this time, be getting ready to sing. We'll just sing a little chorus while they're coming. Well, we're going in the rapture. Going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with our Lord. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture. We're going in the rapture to be with our Lord. Amen. Give them a nice hand tonight as you're seated.
I call on the Lord, and He hears me, and He helps me. He is faithful and true. He won't forget His own. He's my companion, my best friend, the only true God. There's no one greater. Oh, wonderful Savior, Jesus, the Lion of Judah.
Our God is tremendous, His strength never faileth. He goes through the fire just to save a sinner. Yes, He is almighty. He sends His angel to guide me. There is no storm to
the Lord.
on the waters, the storm raging high. The waters around them had trouble that night. Fear gripped their hearts. They thought they would die. They failed to remember that the Master was nigh. He spoke the words. The winds all stood still. Even the waters obeyed His will. And He'll calm their storms just like He will mine. If I just remember that He lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, they called on the Master. They knew He'd get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? When this very same Jesus, He is always so near. He lives in my heart. He hears when I cry. I call on His name till the storm passes by. I'll call on His name till the storm passes
tonight. Thank you very, very much. Time to go on into the service. Brother David's going to come bring us the word of the Lord. We certainly appreciate Brother David Siler. Certainly appreciate the Siler family, what they mean to our local assembly. They're just good folks. We appreciate them. I want you to pray for our brother tonight. The Lord give him strength in his body as he comes to break the word of life. How many of you going to pray for Brother David tonight? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together. For He is holy, as Brother David comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight.
For He is holy.
Sing it now.
He's holy.
Yes, He is.
Oh.
just tell Him that one more time with all of our hearts? Hallelujah. Father, Lord, not only are You holy, but Lord, we recognize that if You're a holy God, Lord, we're going to have to be a holy people. But Lord, it's not within anything that we can do upon our own. But Lord, it's all entirely by Your grace tonight. Lord, as we've come into this place, Lord, and Lord, we've taken our time, Lord, to come to yield ourselves before Your presence. And we're asking that You would just come and Lord, may You edify the church tonight. Lord, may You come and speak something to us, Lord, something that'll move our hearts. Lord, we want it more than just to be service, Lord, just another service, another time we come. But Lord, may it be the time, Lord, that our faith is able to move. May it be a time, Lord, that we can hear something from You, Lord, something that'll encourage somebody, something that'll pick somebody up, Lord. Some word can be said, Lord, for You said in Your word that You sent Your word and it healed them, Lord. Father, we believe that can happen tonight in this place. And we ask that You would come and may You search our lives as we come to lay them before You. And Lord, may You take something, Lord, tonight, Lord, and whatever part it may be. But Lord, may every person receive something from the word of God that when we leave this place, we'd leave here rejoicing in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you tonight while you're standing in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I want to certainly thank you for your prayers for us while we was out of the country the last two or three weeks while we was in South America. I got deathly ill when I was in, actually in the country of Paraguay. One night after the service, I'd gotten done speaking and the pastor asked us to come and eat something at his house. Well, they brought different types of meat out and I just happened to be the one to get the fish and, oh Lord, it just about took me out. I thought I'd have to die to feel better. It took me for about a ride for if I didn't know if I was going to be able to live or die and sink or swim, what was going to happen, but the Lord's gracious. We actually started pulling out of it on Monday and Tuesday and, ate a little bit and I done said I wasn't eating nothing until I get back to the States. So, I ate a handful of fries a couple of days and, just waiting to get back to the States and got back to the States and, for early Thursday morning and ended up just eating. I planned on eating a big breakfast, but I didn't feel like eating. So I just ate a little bit of fruit there at the airport and got home and ate a good dinner at home where I knowed it was safe. He said, well, Dave, you should pray over that food. I agree. I pray over it every single time. But, the Lord chose for me to go through it and I certainly appreciate your prayers. I'm thankful to be home. I promise you, I'm very thankful to be here tonight. I was actually supposed to be in, Santiago, Chile tonight speaking, but I changed my ticket to come home and maybe get my feet back underneath me a little bit before we, get our motors ready to go again. So Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, I want to start with verse 4 and, tonight, brothers, there's some brothers from Chile that's actually listening to the service and, they've been very courteous to me and they stream some of the services here, those that speaks English and, they wanted me to greet the church for you and, they appreciate, of course, Brother Harry Reagan is singing the different ones that sings here and they feed off of our music and they feed off of the ministry here at the church. And so, you don't realize how many people stream these services. I've never been anywhere in the world that I haven't found somebody that ain't streaming these services and wanted me to greet you from them from all over the world. That just tells me you're privileged. You're privileged because you get to come here and sit underneath it live. I know there's a lot of people has to stream it and I hate that for them sometimes, but, there ain't nothing like being here in person. That's exactly right. Amen. I've always said I want to be under the spout where the glory's pouring out. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to look at verse 4. I'll read verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, and in love having predestinated us, that we may be before him, holy without blame before him, and in love having predestinated us. I read that way because Brother Ram said that we was called by elective love. In love having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. Which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I love verse 11, and this is what I'd like to speak from for a few minutes. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. May the Lord add his blessings to the words. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Certainly appreciate each one that's come to the house of the Lord tonight. We'll try not to be before you very long this evening. I would like to speak, if the Lord will help us, this weekend. I'd like to use this for a subject and pick up two different sides of what I want to look at. But I'd like to call it the awakening of the bride. The awakening of the bride. And I want to start with this thought tonight to preach on the eternal purpose of God. Because before we can get to the end, we have to understand the pattern that God sets out, what he's elected us to be, what he's called us to be. And many times we look at things in life and we look at ourselves and we see, as the human side of us, our humanity has so many faults, has so many troubles, has so many problems. But I want to look beyond that tonight. I want to look beyond the division of man. I want to look beyond the parts of humanity that many of them we don't understand. And I want to look into what God has purposed and just find out what God, how God looks at it. And Brother Ram tells us, as I just want to drop a few quotes in to get our minds going on this direction. Brother Ram said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now a word is a thought expressed, and God had in his mind what to do. But when he expressed it, it had to come into existence. It became a reality because it was God's word expressed. Glory. May you take me to record this morning, friend. There isn't enough power in all of hell that can defeat the purpose of God. God will do it anyhow. And again, he tells us, and I know my Redeemer liveth, which is where we're going to bring this thought from tonight. He said, all powers of hell might wager against it, and we know that they are. But it will not prevail. We have God's eternal promise. God's eternal promise. There may be teachers, there may be isms rise, there may be great programs rise, there may be things that look like it may be destroyed, but it can never be destroyed. It's the purpose of God to see that it will prevail. Amen. That's right. It's not up to me. It's not up to you whether it'll be destroyed or not. It's up to God. And we can rest assured on it that God will never let our heritage be destroyed, for it's his purpose to give it to you. Again, he said he made us for a purpose. Therefore, there's a purpose of all of us being here. You're not just here to be another human being. And the church said, amen. You're here because that God made you for some purpose. You're not just here to eat the food that God grows. You're not just here to live in a house that man made or to wear the clothing that someone fashioned. You're here for a purpose. And then he says, no matter how little you are, how big you are, how important you are, or how unimportant you are here to serve a purpose.
Just as my finger is here for a purpose, my nail, my fingers for a purpose, my eye and every part of my body is to serve a purpose, and it was not put here just to see what it would look like when it was put here, but it was put here to serve its purpose. It was God's divine plan to do so, and the church said, and if we're put here for a purpose, then there's nothing that can destroy us until God's purpose is fulfilled. Nothing can harm us until that purpose that God put us for has been made manifest. No matter how much trouble we have, how much heartaches we have, or sorrows that we go through, all of these are reasons, and there is a reason for it. God's purpose can never be defeated. There's nothing can defeat it. See how happy we ought to be today, resting upon that beautiful revelation of the Word of the living God. There is neither things present nor things to come. There is no sickness. Amen. There's no sorrow, no death, no perils, no nothing can separate us from the purpose of the living God. When God is imagined in His mind, what God has purposed in His heart to bring to pass, there's no demon, there's no power, there's nothing can separate God's great, immortal, eternal plan. It must be as God has said. Oh, hallelujah. So if Paul said He'd made known unto us by the mystery of His will, God is not taking that will and using your life, your humanity, plus His will to bring out His purpose. But remember, God's will is aside from what you and I think about it. It's God's purpose has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with my choice, has nothing to do with our works, has nothing to do with our abilities. But it does deal with God's own heart plan, His purpose that He had in His mind before the world ever began. Now, God did not save us because He knew one day how good of a person you was going to be and how loyal that you would be to the message of the hour. And God saw that one day that you would pray and you'd give your heart to God and you'd come in and you'd start serving Him. You realize God did not put His purpose behind what He knew you would do. But I want to say this, God never purposes anything by the works of man. God does not, you cannot earn salvation. You cannot earn it because of how good you are. No matter if I quit preaching tonight, doesn't mean I'm lost. I'm not saved by works. You're not saved by how much you pray. You're not saved by how much you read your Bible. You're saved by the grace of God through faith in His Word. Now, God doesn't purpose it by our works, but let me just say it like this. He does it perfect. He does not purpose the divinity on the humanity. Because our humanity is weak. Our humanity is frail. We've got shortcomings. We got troubles. We got trials. We got tests. And we fail sometimes. There's times we get down. There's times we get discouraged. And God cannot purpose His eternal will behind frailty like you and I. He doesn't purpose it because you're dependable, because we're not dependable. We're up one day, we're down the next. Amen, somebody. God realizes He cannot purpose it upon your humanity. He has to purpose it upon that gene seed, which has not got nothing to do with your humanity. It has everything to do with the eternity part of you. Yes, I have an eternal part of me that did not begin in time. I have an eternal part of me that did not begin when I was born in a hospital. But I want to say this, that there is a part of me that is absolutely eternal. And God's not depending upon my flesh for me to get through. He's not depending on your flesh for you to make it through. Many times we look at ourselves and we begin to think, how in the world can God use somebody like me when I got so many mistakes, so many troubles, but Lord, and yet at the same time, there's some days we are so high and it doesn't feel like that we can go any higher. Lord, I just feel like I'm walking on the clouds. But let a few days pass by. Let some sickness come by. Let some trouble come around us. And remember, Satan is doing everything he can to beset God's plan. He's doing everything he can to stop what God's doing in this hour. But I want to remind you, he can't do it. No matter how many winds come, he can't stop God's purpose. No matter how many storms come, he can't stop God's purpose. No matter how much sickness comes upon us, he can't stop what God is already predestined to be. God purposes. purposes it within himself, Paul said. Aren't you glad he does? That's why the purpose of God, remember Berean said, God's purpose has to have something to anchor on. And he can't anchor it upon me because I got too many mistakes. And I'll help you, he can't anchor it on you because you got too many mistakes. But he anchors it upon his own word. When God come to Abraham, and God realized that he knew by the Adam, when he had failed, that man could not keep his word. So when he come to Abraham, he did not give Abraham a covenant. Abraham, if you can keep it, I'll keep it. If you can do it, I can do it. God knew Abraham couldn't do it. So God said, if I'm going to swear by somebody, I want to swear by somebody who can't fail. I want to swear by somebody who don't make mistakes. I want to swear by somebody I know that can keep his word, and I'm the only one there that can keep it. I want to swear by myself. Hallelujah. God cannot purpose the eternal upon the humanity. He cannot purpose the divinity upon finite. Understand, human beings are so weak sometimes, as I feel like I am tonight. We're unstable. But you realize there's days we feel strong, and we are for time. But remember, Brother Ram said that God uses the law of contrast. You can't appreciate a sunny day without a cloudy day. Amen. And you cannot appreciate health without having sickness. So we understand there's going to be days that's going to be cloudy. There's going to be days we're on the mountaintop. There's going to be days I'm in the mully grub. There's days I'm going to feel like I'm saved. There's going to be days I don't feel like I'm saved. Amen, somebody. Why? Because of the humanity that we live in. We fluctuate with time. We fluctuate with feelings. We fluctuate with emotions. But God ain't never fluctuated. He's just as stable tonight as he ever has been. Amen. He has just as much authority, just as much power tonight as he ever did. God ain't never been discouraged. God ain't never been down. God ain't never been sick. Amen. He has been stable since the day when he just always was. He's omnipotent. Or as that color sister says down in the south, he's omnipotent, bless God. He just always was. But Paul said, he's made known unto us the mystery. It's a pretty big mystery to me. According to his good pleasure, watch Paul, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one. Now notice, he's not talking about doctrines or ideas. But he gathered together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. So God purposes what's already in him. In whom, oh glory, in whom also we obtained an inheritance. What'd you do to earn it? What'd you do to merit it? It's not something you did. It's who you are in Christ. In whom also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. I got to tell myself this all the time. God's purpose ain't going to be defeated. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So I'm not predestinated by my will. I'm predestinated by his will. It ain't my decision to be predestinated. Come on, somebody. What was it? Recognize we always was a part of God. We just recognize what we always was. Amen. God didn't choose you by feelings. Amen, somebody. How was we elected? We was elected by foreknowledge. Not that God chose this one and chose this one, but God knew who would believe it. Amen. We are chosen by election, by foreknowledge in God's mind. Now Satan will use the rest of your life to tell you that you're not elected. He'll tell you God don't care about you. He even used that on Brother Brown when he came to Brother Brown and said, he said that God don't love you. Amen. And he'll use that against you the rest of your life because we are so good at looking at our humanity and we see all the problems of it with a mind. If I'm a son of God, I shouldn't be going through this. If I'm a daughter of God, I shouldn't have these problems. He purposes according to his own will. Amen, somebody. I'm going to tell you this, my faults can't stop God's plan. Shortcomings can't stop God's plan. I'm trying to help you just a minute. Your mistakes can't stop God's plan. Your failures can't. God's purpose cannot be defeated. You can't even defeat it yourself. I believe with all of my heart, even and in spite of you, you're going to be saved. Even in spite of your feelings, in spite of your good days, your bad days, you're going to be saved because God elected you to be so. If you'd be as honest as God, you'll recognize there's days that I don't feel like a son of God. Amen, Brother David. There's days I feel the longest ways from being saved. But you know what that is? That's this old time being, thinking about time, looking at feelings, looking at problems, but ain't God looking at that. I said, God don't look at that. Man looks at that. We look at that, but God don't look at that. God looks at the saith Lord tonight. Being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So God takes and He purposes man, and He purposes him to fulfill certain things, certain ways. God has to purpose that man. And once Satan sees that God starts using an individual, he does everything he can to knock the props out from underneath him. He realized, and I don't know how he knew it, but when Moses the deliverer came on the scene, all of a sudden Egypt decides that all the Hebrew children is going to be dead. Now isn't it something? But here Moses, his mother and father, takes him and puts him in an ark. Glory. And they take him to the river, which remember, Barrett tells us, he said those Hebrew mothers was taking their children and feeding them crocodiles. And they take Moses down like every other parent did. But yet they put him in the ark and they shoved him out there in that water. Now had Satan got his way, he would have turned that ark over. The baby had no strength to protect himself. Hallelujah. The baby had no ability within himself. He couldn't save himself by works. But God had to watch over him. Don't you see the same way with you? It ain't your works, it ain't your ability. But God's purpose, God's plan watches over you. Hallelujah. Brother Evans said, as that ark went down that river, he said, crocodiles swimming underneath that ark. I want to tell you this. Everything that you do in life, if you could see those demonic crocodiles around your life, would do anything they can to turn your ark over. Amen! They swim around your life. They swim around your home. They swim around your job, trying their best to topple you over. But God had a seat in that ark. And God had a plan for that man. Amen. I said God had a plan. Now for a lot of years, Moses done it his way. Until finally God got enough Moses out of the way that God could do something with Moses. And God's going to get you out of the way long enough, He's going to do something with you. But He's got to get Moses out of the way. I read yesterday, Brother Bram said, that's the problem. He said, sometimes we got too much of ourselves in the way. Amen. You would think that it would have been like everybody else. But here God has a plan. And the plan can't be spoiled by the enemy. No matter what it looks like. No matter what happens. The unseen hand is guiding the life of this child. He guides him as he goes to Pharaoh's house. He guides him there as he goes to the backside of the desert. He speaks to him there. And then he sends him back to fulfill his purpose. Until finally God can do something with him. And God says, I'm going to go down and deliver my people. I like that, don't you? God said, I'm going to go down and I'm going to deliver my people. But I'm sending you to do it. What God had to do, had to start waking Moses up, had to start shaking Moses to get him to the reality of what God called him to be. Shake us, Lord, all I say, shake us. Shake us. But you realize that we knew the things we was going to have to go through to get to where we're at. Why, you think we'd ever chosen? Why, Lord, no. You think Brother Reynolds would have chosen to have been a prophet if God would have told him, I'm going to take your family, I'm going to take your wife, I'm going to take little Sharon Rose? You think that Brother Reynolds would have chosen to have been Elijah had he known this was going to happen? Absolutely not. But God has got to override the suffering of a man when he goes to his room, takes the pistol, is going to kill himself. Preach, Brother David. I said, God has to, the purpose of God, amen, has to override the grieving heart of a man, the grieving heart of a father. He has to override him. You believe Brother Ram's elected, predestinated, chosen of God, Elijah the prophet, but yet his humanity chose by suffering to take and end his life before it was his time. Had Satan got his way, he would have killed him a long time ago. Brother Ram takes that gun, throws it in the floor, and it goes off. You know what that tells me? God overrides by his purpose. Well, Brother David, it's amazing, even more amazing in your life. How many times as a teenager was you out drinking, out with your buddies in a vehicle, and there's been millions of people has died the same way. But somehow you made it because God had a purpose for you. Amen. Oh, friends, if we could see how many times the divine purpose of God has override our wills, overrode our ignorance, our stupidity, things that we should have been in a premature grave years ago. Oh, God has to override us many times. He has to override our slothfulness, our laziness. Amen. Amen, church. It's true. Amen. You know why? Because God's purpose can't be defeated. It ain't going to be defeated. I need that sometimes. You know what that does? That lets me know I'm going to make it. Now, I've been told since about that high, ain't nobody going to make it. Ain't nobody going to the rapture. And if you make it in, you're going to make it in by the skin of your teeth. And it was legal eagle as far as you can get it. But I thought, Lord, I'm going to tell people you're going to make it even in spite of you, even in spite of your feelings. God has a purpose and you are going to be there, brother. Amen. It's a 1,500 square mile city and somebody's going to fill it up. And I say it's us tonight. It might as well be us. Oh, glory. Amen. Nothing can override God's purpose. Your slothfulness, amen, it cannot override God's purpose. My complainings, my gripings, our attitudes, nothing can stop God's eternal purpose from coming to pass. Why, Brother David? According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. He worketh all things. Notice what Brother M says in Smyrna Church Age, paragraph 149. Jesus Christ is choosing His own bride. Just the same as men choose their bride today. The bride today does not simply decide she's going to take a certain man for a husband. No, sir. It's the groom who decides to choose a certain woman for his bride. I don't care what Hollywood says. That's the way it is. For the scripture says, you've not chosen me. Oh, I know, we want something to do with it so bad. We want our works to have something to do with it so bad. But I want to remind you, John said, you've not chosen me. I have chosen you. I have chosen you. Now, according to the word of God, the bride was chosen before the world, foundation of the world. The choosing of the bride was purposed in Himself. Ephesians 1:9 and Romans 9:11 says the purpose of God according to election. What might it do? Stand. You can't read it any other way. Oh, listen to this. The heart purpose, the eternal purpose of God was to take a bride of His own choosing. So the eternal purpose of God, it was not to have stars, was not just to have moon, was not to have a sun. The eternal purpose of God was all about you. Brother, it's all about you. What God chose you. God found you. Let me ask you this. If God's eternal purpose is that, tell me what can stop it then. If that's God's purpose, if that's God's will, if that's God's election that it might stand, tell me what can stop it. I'll tell you, alcohol can't stop it. Habits can't stop it. Drug addictions can't stop it. The world can't stop it. Girls can't stop it. Lust can't stop it. Nothing can stop what God has already chosen. can. I said nothing can. Watch carefully now. Before there was ever a speck of stardust. Whew. Before God, this statement's always amazed me. Before God was God. For God is an object of adoration and no one was there to worship Him. So He was only potentially God. I say there's a lot of potentials up there in that stardust. He was known only as eternal spirit. Glory. The bride was already. Already. In His mind. Yes, she was. She was existing. I'm not preaching pre-existent souls now. I ain't preaching no Mormon doctrine here. But I'm telling you, we was existing in His thoughts. She was existing in His thoughts. What about those thoughts of God? Listen now. They are... Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. If those thoughts are eternal, if those thoughts are eternal, and there's no beginning, and there is no end, that means nothing in between can stop it from being what God already determined for it to be. Nothing can stop it. Death can't stop it. Disease can't stop it. I'm part of His purpose. Even though Satan's constantly trying to destroy it over and over again, he's constantly trying to take it out, but nothing can stop what God has already elected and ordained to be able to come to pass. Again, he says the eternal thoughts of God. Let me ask, are the thoughts of God eternal? If you can see this, you will see many things. God is unchangeable in both essence and behavior. You know what that tells me? Jesus Christ is the same. Amen, somebody. We've studied that and proven that already. God is infinite in His ability, so therefore, He must be omniscient. If He's omniscient, He's not now learning, nor is He taking counsel even of Himself. In other words, Verum tells us, God does not change His mind about His Word. So the thought about me is eternal. And God's characteristics of what He is eternal, and it's unchanging. That means He can never have a different thought about me than what He already thought about me in the beginning. So what He saw about me in eternity, time can never change eternity. Care what happens in time, it can't stop the eternal. Oh my, I know the devil tells you He can, but it can't. If He's omniscient, He's not learning, He's not taking counsel of Himself, nor is He at any time adding to His knowledge. He's omniscient. He never had a new thought about anything. Brothers and sisters, this blows my mind. Matter of fact, I can't even get my mind around it. Because you know how we are. When did God begin? Well, He just always was. No. Now, when did He start? Well, He just always was. He's a fountain attribute. Okay, but when did the attributes start being a fountain? It just always was. You know why? We do our best to try to understand the infinite with finality. The finality of our minds cannot understand the eternal. So what God does is, He gives us a picture and says a light comes off of God. And He calls that Logos so you and I can take and identify with the condescension of God. I said, God's got to break it down to us because we can't understand it that way. He said, He's omniscient. He never had a new thought about anything because all His thoughts He has always had and always will have glory. And He knows the end from the beginning because He's God. Thus the thoughts of God are eternal. Watch this next statement. They are real. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. But you know what? Then tell me if we believe that. Tell me why we worry so much. Why do we worry? Man, I hope I'm going to be saved. I hope I'm going to make the rapture. I hope I'm going to get a body change. I hope I'm going to be, I hope. Why do we worry? Why do we worry if we really believe this and it's a heart revelation within us? Then why do we worry? Brother, if you're an eternal thought of God, you can't miss the rapture. But if you preach that, people's going to run off and do whatever they want to. They're going to run off and do whatever they want to anyway. Well, if that's the case, I can just live any way I want to. You sure can. You always have been able to. Live any way you want to. But if you're a seed of God, your works will tell of your faith. Amen, somebody. Your works will tell of your faith. You know why you pray? Not to be saved. It's because you love Him. You know why you read your Bible? Because you love Him. Not to be saved. Not to try to earn something. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. It's a free gift. Brother Terry comes over and mows my yard because he just wants to mow it. That's fine. And I said, I'm going to give you $50 for mowing this yard. It's not a gift no more. He earned that. Grace is a gift. And you can't earn salvation. Amen. Remember Brother Brown tells me, he said, you can't tell me. He said, I don't remember ever one day joining the Brown family. You can't join it. You can't join the family of God. You've got to be burned into the family of God. Sometimes I worry more than I believe. Amen. I do. I worry more than I believe. You know why? It's because my humanity likes to drag me down. And he likes for me to look at everything that's went wrong, everything that can go wrong, We look at those things. When my face should look at the eternal purpose of God, say, it don't matter what happens, I'm going, brother. I said, I'm going. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Yeah, I may have bad days. Yeah, I may have shortcomings, but I'm still a son. I'm still a son tonight. The thoughts of God are eternal. They are real. They're not simply like a man. Watch what they're not like. They're not like a man with a blueprint drawing it up, which one day will be translated into substance and form. But they're already real. They're already eternal. A part of God. See how this works? God always had His thoughts for Adam. But David, did God know that Adam was going to fall? Sure He did. But God always had His thoughts for Adam. That ought to help you tonight. Did He see Adam? Yeah. He know Adam? Yes. But He still had thoughts. And His thoughts was yet unexpressed. For David said like this in Psalms 139. I love this scripture. My substance was not hid from thee. Brother, you realize your substance wasn't hid from Him either. When I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance yet being. And everybody ought to be saying amen to that. You know what David's saying? God knew me. God seen me. God understood me. He knew my substance. He knew my humanity. He knew my problems. He knew my shortcomings. Amen. He knew my substance yet being imperfect. But, oh glory, in thy book were all my members written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. That I said, was not written about Adam, but it gives you the ideal knowledge that that thought was there in his mind. And that thought was eternal and had to be expressed. When Adam was formed to the dust of the earth, the spiritual being created by God, then Adam became God's thought expressed. And those eternal thoughts were now manifest. And down through the centuries we could go. We find a Moses, a Jeremiah, a John the Baptist. Each one of those was God's eternal thoughts expressed. Watch those statements. Expressed in its season. Moses had its season. Jeremiah had a season. John the Baptist had a season. Noah had a season. All these men that God elected, God ordained them, if you would, to be able to be born in that age, to be manifested, because God had to fulfill His purpose through them. And nobody else could do it. Amen. And Abraham says, he said God's eternal thought was expressed in its season. So when God needed somebody to take Israel out of Egypt, God sent Moses down there. Amen. You would think, well, God's going to do it, but He's going to use 5,000. Brother Abraham said he went down there as a one-man invasion. He went down there with his wife and his two boys with an old crooked stick. And Brother Abraham said, where are you going, Moses? He said, I'm going down to take over Egypt. You know why? Moses caught a revelation of the heart purpose of God. Knowing God's purpose cannot be defeated. Whether it's one against 10,000, it can't be defeated. Don't you see? You and God are the majority tonight. God don't need 50,000. All God needs is one purpose. One person who can fulfill His predestinated purpose. Me and God's the majority. They're going to vote on a president here at the end of this year. Amen. And the majority that wins the electoral votes, they're going to get voted in. All I can say is God voted for me. Well, when did He do that? For the foundation of the world, God cast His vote in me, and God's the majority tonight. Amen. No matter who likes it, who doesn't like it, you're already seen as a part of His purpose. He says He has chosen us in Him, Jesus. Watch now, paragraph 50, 150, paragraph 3. It says that He has chosen us in Him, Jesus. Before the foundational world, that means we were right there with Him in the mind and the thoughts of God. How many remembers it? You may remember it. I don't remember being born, but I was there. Wasn't you? Well, if you wasn't, how'd you get here tonight? There's a lot of things I don't remember. Somebody has a good memory, maybe I'll remember back there. 2 or 3 years old, some of your earliest childhood memories, maybe. But I don't remember being born. I don't remember the doctor thumping my foot. Do you? I don't remember it. But that don't mean it ain't so. I'm not saved, oh glory. You're not saved because you remember God. You're saved because God remembers you. That means we were right there with Him in the thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. That gives eternal quality to the elect. I dare you to read it any other way than what He says it. You can't. You can't get away from that. You know what that gives me the idea of? That we tried, ain't we? We've tried, you've tried, you tried running, you tried to do everything you can to get away from it, but you can't get away from it. You can't get away from that. He can't, brother, I'm telling you, that's the reason why you gotta realize that God knows you. He knows your problems. He knows your troubles. He knows your substance. He knows your issue. He knows you! Amen. Let me inject this thought in here. I really don't understand this. And you don't either, I'm sure. Even our natural birth is based upon election. How? Don't know. The female ovaries produce many eggs, but why is it at a certain time a certain egg comes down another one, and amongst the male sperm for no known reason, glory somebody, a certain germ attaches itself, while others that could have just as easily, I believe this message, I mean just as... Why is it that you believe it? Why is it that you believe it? When other people could have just as easily have believed this, and you might be the only person in your family believes this message, who might even be a Christian, why is it that when others could have just as more easily done it, but you did? Why is it that a man in Africa is moving out of his house and throws all of his message books in the trash and walks out and leaves them? The man, there's another man comes in looking for a house to rent, comes in there, looks around, looks down the trash can, sees the book, picks it up. Others who could have more easily believed it. Why is it that he picks it up, starts reading it, and something inside of him awakens and comes alive, and he believes the message? I can't even explain it. All I know is God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing, brother. He knows you. He knows me. Glory. I said glory. Who could have easily attached themselves or had a better opportunity to do so and did not do so and perished. There's an intelligence behind all of this. Well, I mean, you know, people say, how'd you get, well, I was a mistake. No, you wouldn't. No, you wasn't. Brother M says, there's an intelligence behind this. Otherwise, what determines whether the baby's a boy or girl, blonde, brunette? That tells me that God chooses what we're going to be. And I know in this society today, people can't figure out they're male, they're female, what they are. But I'm going to say, when you come to this world, whatever God chose you to be, that's just what you are. Brother, it don't take a scientist to figure that out. All it takes is eyes. Amen, somebody. Well, we don't want to tell our child whether they're a boy or a girl. We want to let them decide on their own. It's already been decided. I said it's already been decided. God's the one that makes that decision. You can change it into something else, but I'll tell you who you are. You can't be a creator, so that means you're only a perverter of what God created. And we know who that daddy is. Woo! I said, we know who your daddy is.
The elect was not only eternal in the thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season. These who are the royal seed are elect to God, are predestinated, foreknown to God, and were in the mind of God in His thoughts. In very plain language. Good, that's the way I like it. The true bride of Christ was in His mind of God eternal, though not expressed until each one came forth in His designed, designated, decreed season. Glory. And each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. You know why I'm standing here tonight? I just took my place in the body. You know why you believe this message? You took your place in the body. Amen. Thus the bride, let me hurry, is the literal. Don't you understand what he's saying? Thus the bride is, now remember what Abraham says the spoken word is. The spoken word is the original seed. And he says, thus the bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. The same God that said, let there be stars, let there be a moon, let there be a sun. Amen. Is the same God that said, let there be me. And let there be you and you. Amen. Brother, I'm elected to be here in this day. I'm more permanent than sickness. I'm more permanent than disease. Matter of fact, when there ain't no disease, I'm still going to be here. I'm more permanent than habits, because when there ain't no habits, I'm still going to be here. Why? I got an eternal purpose about me. Amen. Brother, you realize when troubles is over, you're still going to be here believing. When unbelief passes away, you're still going to be here. When Satan's burning like a fire, I'm going to be still rejoicing. Why? The purpose of God can't be defeated. That's why. Brother, that's the reason Brother Ram tells us that germ that was in you at the beginning found you. Not me, Brother David. One day I come to church and I heard that preacher and I got excited about it and I ran down that altar and God put a seed in me. He never did no such a thing. You wouldn't have come to that church had God didn't pull you there to begin with. And you certainly wouldn't have been at that altar, because no man can come to the Father unless God draws him first. But Ram says it like this, and God and rich in mercy, and I'll hurry. He said, one day you being a part of God, you had to be a part of the Word. And when you heard the Word, you know where you come from. You know what the truth. Oh, I love that. You were always, the seed was in you always. The Word seen the Word. Glory to God. The Word seen the Word that was in you. That was before the foundation of the world. The Word saw the Word and you come to it. Brother, I didn't even make it to it. He found me. I said, He found me. Isn't it amazing? God always finds His people. He found the prodigal son in a pig pen, but He found him. He found a woman that was a prostitute at Jacob's well. And He said, I got need to go by Samaria. She wasn't looking for Him. He went looking for her. And He said, I got need to go by that well. Brother, He wasn't going to Jacob's well to get some water. He was going there because He knew how to get that seed. Amen. Don't you see why this message come in the end time? He come to get you. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, the bride is the spoken word seed bride. And though she's feminine in designation, she's called the body of Christ. It's very apparent that she ought to be called that. For she was predestinated in Him. And she came from the same source. But if you don't feel like you can make it after you leave this building, something bad wrong with you. That's why Jesus said, I come from God and I'm going back to God. My body can't say that, but my spiritual union by seed says that tonight. Amen. I got something inside of me that says I came from God, and when this world is over, I'm going back to what I was. I only come here and drop down in time, and God allowed me to come into this age for this time, for this season, for this moment. She ought to be called that. She's predestinated in Him. You see, Brother Ram's thought is Eve was in Adam, and the bride was in Christ. And Brother Ram said she ought to be called that. She was predestinated in Him. You see, Ephesians, she was in Him. She came from the same, they came from the same source. We was eternal with Him and now manifesting God in a many-member body. Whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus. But if you expect me to believe that, I sure don't. Brother Brown does. We come here, coming to the conclusion as the eternal Logos God was manifest in the Son, and Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that the eternal one was the Father manifested in the flesh. Brother, the Godhead don't get no plainer than that. And thereby gained the title of Son. Not eternal sonship now. He gained the title of Son. He was the only begotten Son. Has a beginning, right? So what made him a Son is when he became manifested in the flesh. So therefore, glory, when we become manifested in this hour, we have a part of a many-membered body bride that has the gene seed of God that's to be expressed in this hour that we are now living in. Brother Ramos says, see, in Jesus dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body, the eternal one was the Father manifest the flesh, thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in His thoughts, in our turn. In our turn. When I was a kid, we played Red Rover, Red Rover. Send whoever right on over. And everybody got their turn. And Moses got his turn. And Jeremiah got his turn. And Daniel got his turn. John the Baptist got his turn. Paul got his. Come on, somebody. But I want to ask you now, whose turn is it now? Are we just sitting around? Oh no, God is revealing Himself. There's somebody that's being awakened to the reality of who they are. Even so we, oh Lord, eternal thoughts in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed manifested. Manifested in flesh. And those eternal thoughts are now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God. Even as we are so called, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore we were reborn. Don't you see, the only reason you could be reborn is because of what you always was. That's the reason why you bring somebody in and there's no seed inside of them. They can never come to a regenerated birth because there's nothing to be reborn. But if there's a seed in you, which always was, you got something that can be manifested in this age. And like a child, it starts in infancy and it grows to maturity, to maturity, to maturity, until finally Brother Bram says, all that I can see that the bride needs to do is lay in the presence of the Son and ripen. What's he saying? She needs to mature to recognize who she always was. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We did not become the seed by the rebirth. I don't care how many preachers preach it, the prophet emphatically says, we did not become the seed by the rebirth. If you ain't never a part of it, you can't never be a part of it. Amen, somebody. That's the reason Barron said, a word is a thought expressed. You can't be the word at the end unless you was a thought in the beginning. You can't be reborn unless there was always a gene seed in there. And God allowed it to be able to come through. And He's seen the union of your mom and daddy. And when you was born as a baby, it come inside of you because of what you always was. God never pushed you through a pipe. Amen! He never pushed you through a pipe. He allowed us to be able to grow and to mature. And we come here as seeds. He had allowed us to mature. And then finally you get to the place that you recognize I always was seed. And when you recognize that, listen, when you recognize that purpose of God, you simply have to believe it by the revelation of God's word, by faith of what He said. Because if you look at me or you look at other preachers, you look at somebody around you, you may look at them, they may do good for a while, but when they make a mistake, there goes your faith. But if you got your faith anchored in the word of God, amen, when you got your faith anchored in the word, nothing can beset you. I know it sounds hard, but if every person in this building walks out of this building and never believes this message again, I ain't stopping. Because I got something in me that can't stop. I'm seed. I've been reborn. Amen! Brother David Hundreds is walking away. Let him go walk. Brother, you don't want him to live, stay around this message and be miserable, do you? Let him go do what they do to be happy. That's what they got. Let him be happy. Amen! But don't stop me from being happy. Amen. Don't stop me from being what God called me to be. I like the way Brother Ram says it. Brother Ram says, if you've got faith to move mountains, go ahead and move them. And Brother Ram said, if that man's got faith to do it, he said, I don't want to stand in somebody's way that does if I can't. Why would you?
Well, if they can do it, just stand back and thank God for it. Amen. I say, just Lord, let me be a good cheerleader. I'll stay on the sideline and cheer them on. Brother, I ain't got to be the man carrying the football all the time. Sometimes I like to stay on the sideline and cheer the team on. Because when it's all said and done, I'm on the winning side. And we all going to the same place. We all going to the same millennium. We're all going to the same future home. We did not become seed by rebirth. We were seed. Let our musicians come. We were seed and therefore we were reborn. Aren't you glad you was? Think about it. It ain't that maybe you chose it. Well, Brother David, I chose when I come on this message. I chose to believe this message. Tell me how you can choose it. You can't choose it unless God chose you first. You can't believe it unless God seen you as a part of it to begin with. Amen. That's the reason why you can't come here. So, Brother David, we're going to pray for this person that God will make them bride. You can't make nobody bride. Abraham couldn't make Lot bride, could he? But that don't mean Lot's got to be not saved. Amen, somebody. But you can't make somebody elected. You can't make somebody predestined. God already had that in his mind. That don't mean they got to be lost now. You can't make your family members bride, but that don't mean you got to make them lost. Because I remember Abraham interceded for Lot. Hey, listen, the Sodomites was going to be burned with fire, but that don't mean Lot has to be there with them. Brother, if you're an elected seed of God, and maybe some of your family, maybe they may not believe it, I'd pray for them anyway. I'd trust and believe God for them anyway, that they can at least accept the perpetuation of what Christ done. Amen. I get tired of this idea. Well, if you ain't bride, you ain't nothing. That ain't the truth tonight. Brother, God has done set up a plan by redemption. If you can buy whosoever. Amen, somebody. I don't mean you can make them bride. I don't want to try and make nobody bride. You can't even do it if you wanted to. But if they are what they are, by God's choosing, so let it be. But brother, let me do my part as an intercessor like Abraham to stand there against the Sodomite condition and pray them out if I have to. Then you're starting to recognize who you are. Then you're starting to recognize what God called you to be. Think about it. When you get to the place where we're not so stingy and our attitudes and everything comes up, going, oh, if you don't believe the message, forget you, brother and sister. God help me that my grace can be greater than that. I don't want to see one person lost. Amen, somebody. I don't just travel the world to preach to people just hoping I can find bride, bride, bride. I don't want to be seeing nobody lost. Brother and sister, I'm not so naive to believe that everybody I preach to is elect. I know better than that, and you do too. That don't mean you got to be lost. I say, God, help me to intercede for Lot to pull out the righteous so the righteous don't have to be buried with the wicked. God, what a recognition. What a recognition. When you start saying, they're saying, God, Lord, don't let nobody be lost. Even my worst enemy, God, give me the love in my heart that I can put them before your throne. Amen. I say, God, help them. That's maturity as a son. That's maturity as a son. I've heard it since I was that high. When ain't nobody going, if you don't believe this message, you ain't going. Brother, that ain't true. They may have to go by the white throne judgment. That don't mean they got to be lost. That don't mean they got to be lost. God's a merciful God. You know what Brother Ram says? And God that's rich in mercy. Brother Ram said, if you go to hell, he said, you'll cross every barricade there is to get there. You know why? God don't send nobody to hell. He don't send one person. Matter of fact, he didn't even create hell for human beings. The Bible says he created for the devil and his angels. But if a man goes to hell, it's because he put the blinders on and did everything he can to try to get there. You have to fight your way there. You know why? He's a God that's rich in mercy. God can be rich in a lot of things. But whenever David described him, God said, but David said, God's slow to anger. And he's of great mercy. Paul picks it up in the New Testament. He's talking about God. And whenever Paul began to describe, when he looked back at what David said, Paul said, well, just let me say it like this. He's a God that's rich. But he's rich in mercy. Because had it not been for his mercy, I was killing some of his sons and some of his daughters. But God's rich mercy got a hold of me. And brother, that's what got a hold of you too. A God that's rich in mercy. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Oh, praise be to God. I feel the pull. I feel the pull. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I feel like I'm still a little weak from all that sickness this week, but by God's grace, I'm making it through. Amen. Amen. Help me sing it. I feel the pull. I hear the call now. Oh, I hear. Can you hear the call? Spirit, let it move you tonight. Mistakes. Don't look at your problems. Look to the Word tonight. Hallelujah. Let it minister to you now. Oh, I feel the call. Oh, I hear the call. Yes, and I know His Spirit. Move me tonight, Lord.
So, 'cause I feel the pain.
I'll tell you.
I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and take.
Came looking for me, brother. Don't you love Him tonight? Brother, I feel like I could whoop hell with a water pistol right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sing it, brother.
One night, a while on life's raging sea, looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the One who came looking for me. So far. rescue my soul. Come on, my fear, I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was there to rescue my soul. Come on, my fear, now I'm safe from all harm, since I met the one who came.